Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
So we had been discussing chapter 12. This is Bhakti Yoga, the yoga of devotion. And as we had been discussing that Bhagavad Gita is the science of self-improvements. So we started out with the first section of the Bhagavad Gita to understand who we are and how our body, mind and intellect functions and how you can get the most effective actions. So that segment ended with meditation. Once you understood what is myself and what is not myself, you have to contemplate on it, meditate on it to move this identification from this limited self, which is very natural to us, to consider this is me, to that supreme me, the self which is all-pervading. And then we have seen the Lord's nature. Once you identify with that self, what is the nature of that self? What is that what I need to meditate on? So the chapter 7 through 11, we have seen the nature of that self, that all-pervading self. And that segment ended in Bhakti Yoga, the yoga of devotion. The identification with that supreme self is devotion to that supreme self. We have many times discussed devotion is love for divine, love is nothing but identification. Identification only comes by finding our common traits, common ground. Our common ground with the supreme self is I want happiness, unlimited existence, and unlimited bliss. This is what I'm looking in my life. Scripture says the only way you can do it once you identify with that self. So the Bhakti Yoga is the yoga of devotion. How to achieve that identification? We have seen there are two types of way of meditating upon the Supreme, either with the form or without the form. And the Bhagavan said the with form is easier for the one who is associated with the body. One who is more attached to this body, this limited ego, it's easier to identify with the Lord, with the form. Whatever form that you and I can assign for our own personal God. And then he says, what is devotion? He says, devotion is a complete surrender of my mind to him. Right now my mind is surrendered completely to my ego. My mind and intellect have identified completely with my ego, and therefore I am one with my ego. My identity is my ego, and therefore all the limitations of my mind and intellect are now the limitations of myself as identified with the ego. The sorrows which I am experiencing in life, the unhappiness which I am experiencing in my life, are because of these limitations. My inner self is seeking complete happiness, unending happiness, unbound happiness, but I am identified with my ego, and therefore the limitations of my mind and intellect are creating the unpleasant situations. So to get out of the situation, the only way I can achieve that perfect happiness is by identifying with that supreme self. The self which is residing in me, residing in you, residing in him, residing in her, and everything that
we perceive, think, and consider as our world. And Bhagavan, therefore, in the last 7 verses of this chapter, starting from verse 13, enumerates the qualities of a true devotee. A true bhakta who has surrendered his or her mind and intellect to the Supreme Self. So now the mind and intellect have become the instrument of the Supreme Self, the Lord. We have seen in last 2 verses, we have discussed verse 13 and 14, where Bhagavan has enumerated 11 qualities of a true devotee, where we have seen advesta, sarvabhutanam, maitra, karuna evacha, nirmama, nirahankara, samadukha kshukakshami. He hates no creature, he is friendly to all beings, he is compassionate, he has no ego, he has no sense of attachment, he is balanced in pleasure and pain. Santushta satatam yogi yatatma dhridanischayaha. He is ever content, steady in meditation about who he is. He is self-controlled and he possessed firm conviction with mind and intellect dedicated to the Supreme Self. Bhagavan says such a person is my bhakta and he is dear to me. Continuing the same description of true devotee, Bhagavan describes in verse 15, yasmat na udvijate lokaha, he by whom the world is not agitated. If my presence makes the world around me agitated, then obviously there is something I need to correct. And we have experienced this all the time. Some people can just enter the room and suddenly the room will be in a very positive mood, in a very joyful mood. That he will bring that joy, that enthusiasm, that excitement in the room. And some people come in the room and there's a gloom and doom is what we experience. Now, we have experienced this, or we can feel about this, about our day-to-day acquaintances and friends. But truly, we have experienced this in presence of a Mahatma. I obviously have experienced in presence of Swami Chinmananda, where people used to sit for hours, including myself, without doing anything, just sitting in front of him and just watching him. And it gives you such a peace in your mind that you just don't want to leave. I tell people that for a long time, when Swamiji comes, all the devotees will get together, those who are close to him, who get the chance to be with him, and just be in his room. And Swamiji is doing whatever he's doing. He's watching tennis, because Swamiji used to love watching tennis after lectures. Somebody has taped his Wimbledon or whatever the tournament, and he will be watching that. And other people are just watching Swamiji, but feel peace. In our very early days of this exposure to spirituality, my mentor at the time was a chief architect where I used to work as an intern architect after the first year of architecture school in a vacation. He took me to Sant Mota in Surat. And at the time I didn't understand much, but because my chief architect was telling me that you should come with me, I went along with him. And somebody asked Sant Mota a question and said, Mota, how do we know that a person we are meeting as a sadhu, as a saint, is a true saint or a true sadhu? Because he could be a cheat. He could be just putting up a show and cheating people. And Sant Mota said, there is only one test for it. If in His presence you feel peace, He is a true sadhu or a sannyasi. If in His presence your mind gets agitated, consider that that person is not a saint or a sadhu. And at that age, I was only about 17 at the time, and I couldn't understand how that can be. But over the years, I've experienced that in presence of a Mahatma, a peace prevails in your mind automatically. He projects His peace into your mind and everyone around Him. So Bhagavan said, Yasmat na udvijate lokaha. He by whom the world is not agitated, His presence brings peace and joy to the people around Him and the world around Him. We obviously have heard that in presence of Lord Buddha and such Mahatma, even the animals will just sit down in front of Him and feel peace. Lions and tigers have been calmed by Lord Buddha. So, lokat na udvijate chayaha. Neither He agitates the world, nor the world can agitate Him. As we had seen, that in presence of great Mahatmas like Lord Buddha, even the animals feel peace and they will calm down in front of Him. So this is a test. Or these are the qualities you find in a true devotee of the Lord. That in His presence you will experience joy and your agitation in your mind will not affect Him. Sometimes everything is going good, but as soon as I come from my office, I create the agitation in the house. Because I bring my agitation from the office to the house, and now my household, which was peaceful without me, is now agitated because of my presence. Therefore, we typically have the threat to our children, well, you just wait, you know, dad is coming. That means there will be now a turmoil and agitation in the house. So you behave and not add any more agitation to his agitation. So we put a lot of burden on our children to calm down their parents. Obviously I'm joking. So Bhagavan said that my devotee is such a person who brings peace to this world and does not get agitated by this world. Harsh, Amarsh, Bhaya, Udvega Muktaha. He is free from joy, harsh, amarsh, envy, bhaya, fear, and udvega, anxiety. Such a person, Bhagavan says, yaha sacha me priyaha. He is dear to me. He is dear to me. He is closer to me. His closer to me does not mean that now Bhagavan is partial to him. But he feels the peace prevailing in the Supreme Self as his peace. And therefore he is closer to him. Continuing in the same vein, the next two verses form the third segment of the qualities of a true devotee. And it says, Anapekshaha Shuchihi Daksaha Udasinaha Gatavyataha. So far in the previous stanza, we have seen about 14 characteristics of a true devotee. In this stanza, we see 6 more. So it says, Anapekshaha. He is free from all wants. He has no apeksha. He has no expectation from this world. Now these are very difficult concepts for you and I to understand because we live in a world where expectation and anticipation and performing to the one's expectation and all these things are a normal part of our vocabulary in the business world and in our regular world we live in. But what we are talking about is my internal world. We are not talking about the world outside and I dealing with the world of my peers and my superiors and my enemies and my competitors. That's the world my ego has created. Now the world we are concerned about is the world for myself, my inner self. For that inner self, there is no real enemy or there is no real competitor. Because the same self which is pervading the entire jagat is also residing in me. And I'm trying to get in contact with that. Once I am in touch with that, Bhagavan said, you will have no apeksha. I am satisfied by my own self, and therefore I have no other expectation from the world. Up till now, my expectation, the world will make me happy. My children will grow up and then will do this and they will make me happy. My wife will do this and that will make me happy. My friends will do this and that will make me happy. I have mortgaged my happiness with all the people which I know, but have not left anything for me to do. So now I have no control over my happiness. I have to rely on the people who have mortgaged my happiness. So they have to do something to make me happy. My children have to perform well in their studies or in their sports or whatever I expect them to do. My wife have to perform according to my desires. My friends have to behave the way I want. When they do that, I'll be happy. So I have mortgaged my happiness and therefore I have apeksha, my expectations from the world to make me happy. Bhagavan said, my devotee is anapeksha. There is no expectation because he is the reservoir of his happiness. Shuchihi, he is clean. Someone who is devoted to the Lord, he cannot be filthy and dirty. Both in his own mind and intellect and also in his surroundings. He will live a clean life both inside and out. When your mind is clean, you will automatically make your environment around you clean. It has a reverse effect also. When my environment around me is clean, it will calm my mind down and my mind will be clean too. So shuchi, daksaha, he is alert. Daksaha, there is no laziness in him. There is no lethargy in him. When the mind is attached to the higher goal and the higher self, it's always vigilant and alert. He's always alert about anything that is of a low qualities, of a low tendencies, that he will be alert to avoid them. Therefore, is udasinaha. Now udasinaha means unconcerned. And again, these are the concepts which we have very difficulty understanding. Because udasin in our vernacular language means one who is sad, is udasa, at least in Gujarati. Udasa means sad. And I'm sure the same in other Indian languages. So now when somebody says that the devotee is udasina, that means he is udas. He is never happy. He is not doing anything. Udasinaha means is unconcerned about what's happening around him. The world has its own qualities. This prakriti has its own nature. And things are happening around me as per the laws of prakriti, laws of nature. When summer turns to fall and fall turns to winter, we don't have riots in the streets that why the temperatures have changed now, why we don't have enough sunlight, that we are deserving this sunlight. It is our right to sunlight, but now in the winter months, why there is no sunlight? There are no riots about that. You know why? Because you expected this to happen. We have understood the law of nature, that summer will be followed by fall and fall will be followed by winter. And therefore we are not upset about it. We are prepared for it, but not upset about it. We may be inconvenienced by a winter, but we are not complaining why winter is here, because we are unconcerned about the seasonal changes in the climate around me. If the same attitude we have with everything that happens around me in my life, I'll be udasina, unconcerned about everything. So Bhagavan said, if a devotee who is devoted to me, one who has identified with me, he'll be unconcerned about all these natural things happening around him. Sarva arambha parityagi, one of the most difficult concepts to understand for people like you and I. Sarva arambha parityagi, who has given up all the beginnings, he's renounced all undertakings. Now that means I have become completely useless and I have become completely worthless because I have stopped starting anything. That does not mean I have stopped working. I stopped performing my duties, stopped doing which gives me joy, my art, my hobbies, my passion about anything that gives me joy to perform. Bhagavan says Sarva Arambha Parityagi means that he has understood that I cannot be the initiator of any activity. All activities are nothing but continuum of things which are happening without my control or without me being in power to control it. A simple act of speaking and recording this lecture is only possible because someone has created this digital recorder. And you people have given me a chance to give explanation of these verses. And the Bhagwan has given me this ability to speak. And all I have done is use these circumstances to do what I enjoy most, is to speak about Bhagavad Gita. So now when I take the credit and say, I started this activity, Bhagwan says that is completely false understanding. And therefore the one who is devoted to the Lord, he never considers himself to be the initiator or the one who has begun this activity. He will always say, I have been acting as per the Lord's will. I am just an instrument in his hand. And therefore he becomes Sarva Arambha Parityagi. Yo Mad Bhaktaha. Such a person is my devotee. This person who has achieved the six values, anapekshaha, suchihi, dakshaha, udasinaha, and sarvarambha parityagi. Yaha madbhaktaha, such a person is my devotee, samepriya, he is dear to me. One more time, he is closer to me. Continuing the same discussion in the next verse 17, Bhagavan gives even another six qualities of a bhakta. Now, we normally think that when I achieve this, I become a bhakta, so I have to work hard to achieve this. So then Bhagavan will say, now, yoha mad bhakta, that you are my bhakta. No, it's other way around. When I become bhakta, truly, truly surrender myself to the Lord. O Lord, I am helpless. I have tried everything in my life to achieve this happiness, this peace of mind, and I have miserably failed. I don't consider now myself to be capable of achieving this peace and happiness by myself. So you take care of it. You show me the way. You tell me and I will do it. As I've said, I understood long time ago from one of my friends, who was also Swami Chinmayananda's devotee. He explained to me in a very simple term, said, Neil, surrender is something you do when you feel completely helpless. A king who is fighting a battle and when he sees that he is completely surrounded and helpless, his army has fled away, and he has no way to fight this enemy, he will surrender to the other king. He is not surrendering because he thought that's a good idea, that the king in front of him is greater than him. He surrenders because of his helplessness. As long as you and I feel that we are powerful enough to gain happiness for ourselves, we will not surrender. Once we come to the conclusion that, Lord, I'm not capable of eking out happiness from this world which I'm seeking, then we will surrender. So when we surrender to the Lord, these qualities which we had been discussing will automatically will become part of our personality. So continuing that discussion, Bhagavan says, Yona hrushyati na dvesti na shochati na kankshati. Na hrushyati. He does not rejoice. Again, we have difficulty here. Well, we think the people who are happy should be rejoicing. If I get happy, I'll be rejoicing. Bhagavan says rejoicing is the one who feels he has achieved something. My ego will say, I did it, and therefore I'm rejoicing. I won over my competition. My ego is rejoicing. Let's have a party. Because I thought that I did this. When I do not have a sense of I did it, there is nothing to rejoice but to thankful to the Lord only, to giving me this opportunity to do this. So Bhagavan says, na hrushyate. He does not have the ego which rejoices. Na dvesti. He does not hate. Na shochati. Nor grieves. All these things are for ego only. I rejoice, I hate, I grieve, and na kankshati, does not desire anything. All these limitations which I had on myself, when I get something, I rejoice. When I come into contact with a situation or circumstances or people or things which I don't like, I will hate them. As we have discussed many, many times, I have divided my world into two. The world of my liking and world of my disliking. My constant pursuit is to achieve and be with the world which I like and avoid the world which I dislike. But if I have now come to the realization that this world is what it is, as per the nature of the Prakriti, and it is nothing but my Lord's manifestation, then there is nothing to avoid and nothing to desire. Nothing to rejoice and nothing to grieve over. And therefore Bhagavan says, Yona hrushyati, na dvesti, na shochati, na kankshati, and shubha ashubha parityagi. Who has given up the idea of good and evil. This is another concept which is not very easy for us to understand. We need some thinking. We need to contemplate on this. How can I give up both the shubha and ashubha? That is good and also that is evil. Well, as we had been discussing, once I have identified with the Supreme Lord and accepted that everything which I see in this world, every happening in this world, is happening because of Him and His will. This Prakriti is functioning as He has designed, as per its own laws. Hurricane comes, tsunami comes, lightning comes, thunder comes, tornado comes. All these are happening as per the laws of nature. I stupidly may be on their way and therefore gets hurt. So, if I'm not in their way, then I will not get hurt. Or if I get hurt, I'll consider that as part of my living in this world. And therefore, I'll be shubha, ashubha parityagi. I'll be giving up the notion of this is shubha and this is ashubha. Bhaktimanyaha same priyaha. Such a person is full of devotion. Bhaktimanyaha is full of devotion and therefore he is dear to me. One more time Bhagavan says, my devotee is closer to me. One who identifies with me, he becomes more like me. And therefore he is dearer to me. Therefore he experiences the bliss which is my nature. Therefore he experiences the happiness that is my nature. And therefore he is dear to me. We'll stop here.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina. Sarve Santu Niramayaha. Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu. Ma Kaschid Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shantihi. 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 Harihi Om. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.